is very important meeting. I am not sure whether the agenda, we've got three items on the agenda. The two relate to committee itself, which will deal with it after the members, after our visitors, the department has left us, and we'll remain just for 2-3 minutes, just to do the in-house things that we're supposed to do. The first item, we wanted to tweak the agenda so that it suits this meeting. The first people to arrive was the Department of Labor, followed by the Department of Transport. As a result, the Department of Labor immediately indicated to us that they are very ready to start at 10. I would request the Department of Transport to be a bit tolerant with us. We're going to start with the Department of Labor. And they will make their presentations, and members will interact with their presentation. And then thereafter, once we're done with it, with the department, they might be released. Followed will be the Department of Transport. They will also make their presentation, which is not very long. I would have hoped that we will start with them, because they've got a very short presentation. I'm not sure what about Banana. Then, after their presentation, have clarity questions, and the report will be adopted. The third item will be for us as a committee on two matters. I'm just outlining the agenda as of now. Yes, Honorable Chair.
Sorry, Chair. Can I just check whether that agenda you read now has been distributed? I didn't see a copy.
We don't have a copy. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Where is the copy of the agenda for members?
We have.
Hello, sir.
I would just like to know, is this just the speech plan and annual performance plan analysis for the consultation fund? Is this the one that we are with?
For the agenda. For the agenda? For the agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what the Department of Labor is going to do.
Yes. Everybody covered by the document, the agenda?
Yes,
all right. thank you very much. What is good about the two departments that are here? They are both led by the DGs, by the respective DGs from labor and from transport. You are welcome. Thank you very much. When we see the senior management of the department led by its captain administratively, we feel very happy. And we give due respect to this committee. I want to encourage that we keep that dynamic relationship and interaction between this committee and yourselves. That's good. I think transport. Sitters are calling for labor because there's some man out of money. So that is the master labor, followed by yourselves. if it's in course for 10-15 minutes, we are not going to open it. Go to Matala, it's up to you.
Okay.
Must get you. The time is 10:15. We will have a presentation shortly for not more than 30 minutes from yourselves, labor. I want to give you ample of time. And then thereafter, we have some questions, clarities, and the way forward thereof, followed by the Department of Transport, in that sequence. If there are any new members, please do introduce them, because from our side, we did introduce ourselves from the very onset. We are not going to make it a challenge of repeating that. Thank you very much. Over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Mr. Mkonto is going to lead the presentation, and the chief from the compensation fund, that is from the chief financial officer, including the member of the board, they will also assist in answering questions. In terms of members, I think the members of the committee may be familiar, but my name is Sam Morotoba, the Director General Acting, and I'll quickly ask others to introduce themselves as briefly as possible.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Paul Amela, and I'm the Director of Customer Care.
Honourable member of Mukwena at the back, don't say your name, Charlotte.
Sorry, Chair. My name is Tola Mnene. I'm the Director of Customer Care Compensation Fund.
Much better.
Thank you, honourable members. My name is Shadrach Mkonto, the Compensation Commissioner.
My name is Fanny Kava. I'm the board member at CF.
Morning, honourable members. My name is Lungi Samatandela. I'm the Chief Operations Officer for CF.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Kantako Mutsiri, the Chief Risk Officer from the Compensation Fund.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Johnny Mudiba. I'm the Chief Financial Officer at the Compensation Fund.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Tapo Mkomatsiri, Chief Director, Corporate Services Compensation Fund.
Morning, honourable members. My name is Taini Kwape, the Acting Director in the Office of the DG.
Honourable members, good morning. I'm Eric Nyagemba, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer to the Minister of Labour.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The last person is Mr. Nyakemba. So, we will go over the presentation, we are going to go over. I think we are still the same team, we have not changed. These are honorable members of the NCP.
The technical team is trying to put together the presentation on the screen. However, I assume that the presentation was distributed and members should have access.
We all have this presentation. Which one?
I'm not sure.
I'm not trying to protect Grace and her colleague. Yeah, in Erasmus. We've been talking about the issue of IT. It gave us problems. They mustn't feel offended that they send us the copies and to know we are saying we did not receive them. It's not their problem, it's not our problem, it's the IT problem.
In fact, I've taken mine in now, the iPad. Linking, it doesn't open. Do you have enough copies, Department of Labor? How many shots? 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 copies short. Nina department, this is what was in the yard by heart. Yeah, my dad, including the labor issues and the controversy, and more heavy than this one. Stop on this job. And now, did you join another pump? Oh, you know, so you want to go to Johan? Please. So, money, it's
Johan.
Johan,
Johan,
Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, Johan, yeah.
She doesn't have a copy.
Yeah. Please give her a copy. Mamufandinga. Mamufandi, because the Women's Month is over now, you want to frustrate her. Give her the copy. I don't know if I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave and then I'm going to leave. We are sorry for the delay. From that 30 minutes, it took away 10 minutes. Yeah, it's all on the DG, every DG. Well, the work is still out of the hole. Government here, but that's less next day, you're going to have. We're going to call about Big City Department of Transport. And I'm about my right-hand side, and I'll have a bank. Who's maybe going to go to the city? I'm going to go to the city.
The print? No. I don't want one in print. I want an electronic one emailed to me. So email it to PNG when I If not, I'll get paper.
We are almost there. I'm sure the Department of Transport will be very interested to look into this presentation. Tell them compensation. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The time now is to stop us. So we will take another 2 minutes. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members, honorable chairperson. Our presentation basically, this is the overview of the presentation that it will look at the objectives of the fund, mission and vision, the service delivery outcomes, summary of performance for 2013-14 financial year, progress made on the commitments made in 2013-14, that is around November last year at the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, action plan to address the negative audit opinion in respect of regulatory and IT audit, and also will provide an action plan to address the negative audit opinion in respect of performance information, and then also provide you information on the organizational performance on the payment of claims, and also will also be providing with the provincial dimension of those claims paid in those areas. The challenges that we're facing, and the challenges and priorities in the new year, which are covered in our strategic plan for 2014-15. And then we'll also be providing you with some of the interventions we've put in place, for example, a new claims management system. And then finally, we'll provide you with the 2013-14 budgeted MTF estimates, expenditure trends, and also we'll provide you with a budget for 2014-15 financial year. Right. Whatever members must bear with me, I'm not IT literate, so this machine might be giving me some trouble from time to time, but I'll try my best to move its beat. I think the objective of the compensation fund basically is to provide compensation for disablement caused by occupational disease and injuries sustained during the period of employment by workers within the South African economy. Our vision basically is to be the world-class provider of sustainable compensation for occupational injuries and diseases, rehabilitation and reintegration services. Our mission, basically, I don't want to bother with using the strategic plan also and our values. These are the service delivery outcomes which are informed by the two government outcomes, which is the outcome 4, which is decent employment through economic inclusive growth, and then outcome 12, which is efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service and empowered and inclusive citizenship. Then the Department of Labor has its own outcomes which they've derived from the government outcomes, which is strategic objective 3, which is protecting vulnerable workers. Number 5 is strengthening social insurance and social protection. And then number 8 is strengthening the institutional capacity of the Department of Labor. And then the Compensation Fund draws from these outcomes also. We came with our three outcomes, which is participate in government initiative for creating sustainable decent employment, and also we intend to improve the payment of benefits to the beneficiaries of the fund and the collection of revenue from employers. and effective administration of the fund's operation. And then we then came up with the strategic objectives of the organization, which are to promote policy advocacy, integration with a comprehensive social security system of South Africa, providing an efficient social safety net, improve the financial viability of the fund, and also to provide professional, efficient, and client-oriented human resource, strengthening corporate governance to improve support and services, enhance quality of access to QIDA services. Basically, in the 2013-14 financial year, if one has to give us the performance of the institution, is that indeed it was not a very good result, in a sense that out of the 100% programs that we have and the target that we put ourselves for the organization, we're only able to achieve 47% out of 100%, which means we underperform by more than half, which is 53%. I think the greatest area of challenges, I think, resides in the area of claims management. You can see compensation was 33% underachieved, and also the area of finance also with 66 underachieved. Legal services also 80% underachieved, and also the area of organizational effectiveness was also 50% underachieved, and the program management office, the internal audit, which was also 36% underachieved. So as a result, we underachieved by almost 53%. Then we were held before SCOPA around June and November last year to come and explain the performance of the institution. And I think after a detailed discussion with SCOPA, we then requested to come up with a turnaround plan to try to address the challenges that we've had. So basically the slides that are following basically will indicate the commitments that we made to SCOPA and the progress from November to date what we've made. I think the critical issue was the filling of senior position posts, which at the time were vacant. For example, the critical function of chief financial officer was vacant at that time when we appeared before SCOPA. And there were also other positions, for example, in the area of operations. We also had some vacancies at director level in finance and other positions. So to date, I must report that we finally filled all those positions. And most of which are here with me today. We also committed to SCOPA that we are going to implement the principle of consequent management, because I think in most of the time the SCOPA asked us to do irregular expenditures that we reported, for example in the area of supply chain, finance and all those, and they wanted to know what action has been taken, and I think we've made commitments. And I think the reason why we're not able to act at that time is because we didn't have the instruments and mechanism to detect and deal with these irregular expenditures. So to date, I must report that we have already set up a financial misconduct board, which is looking at all areas of misconduct, and we have already appointed a service provider to look at all those areas and identify who the culprit was, so that discipline can take place against those officials who have transgressed the policies of the organization. We have also engaged with the executive authority and the director general to look at other areas where we could request an extension of delegations, for example, to speed up the appointments, and also to deal with areas of where there are vacuums in employment. So we also have decided, for example, the area of the PMO, which is the project management office, because what came out clear in SCOPA is that without a program management office, we'll not be able to manage all the programs that are running within the organization. And then we have set up the program management office, and I think the submission has already gone to the executive authority for approval. And once that is approved, we'll be able to employ a full complement of officials to manage the program management office. And to date, I must indicate that Mr. Kolamnene, I've seconded him to head that section until such time that we have it fully constituted. The other commitment that we made was to begin to deal with the issue of clean audit outcome. And to date, I must indicate that we have already appointed some service providers to us to assist us with that work, and work has already started. With regard to the CIO, which was another position that we are lacking, because we have an IT department that is run centrally in the Department of Labor, so we draw expertise from the department. So we committed to appoint a CIO, which is a business relationship manager in terms of the definitions of labor. So that person has already been appointed and is already performing those functions. With regard to the chief internal auditor, which is a vacant post also, I must indicate that we have already interviewed and we found a candidate, and we've made recommendations to the executive authority for appointment. With regard to the setting up of the internal control structure, which I think has been an area where we've been found working, this structure is going to be looking at all those issues where we have to comply with all policies and regulations in the organization. And I must indicate that our organizational effectiveness unit is working on the job evaluation to come up with a proper structure for internal control. We also have also committed to develop a matrix to address those audit outcomes. And I must indicate that as of yesterday, the CFO has indicated that they have finalized the matrix. What is outstanding is for managers to check and agree and sign off on those commitments that are made in that matrix. With regard to migration from legacy to new system, I think we went live with a new system on the first of August 2014. We implemented a new claims management system to begin to address the issue of the claims backlog. I must indicate that with regard to performance agreements, I think I must say that all performance agreements were above the, for SMS and SM12 and below were also signed and filed, and the reviews were also done. I'll try to speed up because I think there's a lot of issues here. There's a slide that explains them themselves for members to read. I'll then move to the action plan to address the audit outcomes. This is an overall mapping of the negative outcomes that the AG found in the compensation fund during the year 2013-14. And I think even in the year 2012-13, I think the findings were almost around this area. Red basically means this is a matter for disclaimer, for example, and then yellow was a matter of emphasis, and green was other matters. If you look at issues around compliance and governance, 69 findings were made by the AG. With regard to medical claims, they made around 27 findings, which were findings that resulted in them disclaiming the commission fund. In the area of compensation and pension, they found 15, which were matter of emphasis. Supply chain management, 44. Access assessment and revenue management was 51. Expenditure, accounts payable and accruals were 66. Financial reporting, 40. ICT were about 5. Basically, the AG came up with a management letter with about 317 items that they found that they needed to be addressed. I think majority of those issues were in finance, which led to us getting a disclaimer in the AG's financial opinion.
Just before you move on, on this issue number two, let's take medical, or supply chain management. If you talk medical claims, medical opinion 27, the rank is red, short term 3, medium term 15, long term. Can you just explain that? So that people read it and understand it.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think the short, medium, and long term, basically what we're trying to suggest there is that out of the 27, 3 of those can be resolved in the short term. And then 15 of those can be resolved in the medium term. And 9 of those were long term issues in medical. For example, I can give an indication here. For example, issue of file management, because we are running a manual system. So all the invoices coming from hospitals, they're put in boxes and delivered for us to go and capture them in the system. So for us to put in place a complete file management system, it's not a short-term issue. It might be a long-term issue. However, we need to start at a particular point. However, for example, with regards to capturing of wrong details, for example, if an invoice on a line item is 15 rand and you enter 115, if there's quality assurance, that you can resolve in the short term. So what I'd like to say that out of those findings, we're able to segregate them to say these ones we can resolve it in a short space of time. This one needs some little bit of effort, and this one needs more effort to be put in them. Similar applies to compensation and pension. These are around, for example, where the beneficiaries have died, but we paid pension because we could not quickly link that to Home Affairs to be able. And the resolution is that we have to implement a mechanism to be able to pick up if somebody has passed on, which we have already implemented that now in the short term. So that control is in place to stop paying people who have passed on. Except for people who might be out of the country, because we also pay pensioners out of the country. There are supply chain management. I think the CFO, if members ask specific questions, the CFO would be able to explain those in supply chain management, and also those in expenditure accounts and financial reporting. I think what we're basically saying is that for us to be able to address these issues with regards to revenue and receivables on known or changed transactions, it's a long-term issue. I'll explain why long-term. There is a backlog that dates back far beyond the period we were there. And also there's an issue of the Public Finance Management Act versus the way we manage our finances in the organization, the issue of accruals, recognition of revenue. So that aspect, we believe, is a long term. We need to agree between ourselves, Auditor General and National Treasury, as to how do we deal with those old balances for us to be able to correct that particular space. Issue of impairment is also around debtors. Benefits payable, these are also systems issues. Provision for outstanding claims, again, if you do not have efficient systems to administer your claims, your provisions are not likely to be correct. So we need to overhaul the whole system of claims management for us to be able to be accurate in terms of making the necessary provisions There was an issue of commitments, which is a short-term issue, where we have contracts with service providers. But those contracts that were going beyond the financial year, the auditors want us to reflect them in our financials. So it's something that we can address. Also, it's an issue of related party transaction. In this particular case, it was a case of MSO, Medical Service Organization, which was providing service for us through our IT contract. And the service was offered to us for free, but the Auditor General wants us to reflect that in the financial statements to say, if we were to buy these services outside, what would have been the benefit that we got by not procuring from outside? So basically, with regard to the opinions, what you are saying, basically, on performance targets which were not specific, we're saying that it's a medium-term issue. I must be able to report that yesterday we had a Menko to address this particular issue, and I think we have come up with proper indicators that we believe are sound now, and then we're going to submit to the minister to put an erratum to our strategic plan in order to reflect the changes in those indicators. So we hope that by the end of October, that matter would have been resolved. The AG also found that we did not ensure that there's an effective, efficient, and transparent system of financial and risk management and internal control. So basically what we're saying, it's a medium-term matter, the establishment of the internal control function in the organization, which our work study unit is already working on it. We should be able to implement that within the current financial year. CF did not keep proper records of financial affairs. I think this is a long-term matter. It's a matter of filing. The procurement challenges is a supply chain issues, which we say we will resolve them in the medium term. Expenditure management, which is the payment of patients and suppliers. Revenue management is a long-term one. I've elaborated on it. It may require a policy change, for example, to move away from accrual to cash-based system. Claims and payables management, I think also it's a systems issue. That also is a long-term issue that we can't just resolve immediately. Liability management, those commitment issues also I've indicated. Internal control, those are medium-term issues which we could find achieve in the next 1 or 2 years. There's also an issue of leadership, which I think I've indicated that we've started addressing that particular issue with the appointments that we've made. Financial performance management, I think it's a long-term issue also that will be given the audit outcome that we just had. Just to give an indication of some of the interventions that we plan to do was to establish the Financial Misconduct Board. We say it's green, it's supposed to be short term, but I must report also that board has been appointed, and the chairperson is a member of the audit committee to look at all matters relating to financial misconduct in the organization. The policy is also approved, it's in place. The clearing of 50%, that is what we're planning to do of all those issues that the AG has raised. The CFO is committed to resolve that in the medium term. The prior year errors, as I've said, this one might also need the agreement between the three parties, the AG, National Treasury, and the fund. Financial management policies, we've just went through the first round last month of the financial policies. I think about 15 policies were presented, and we've requested that they must make adjustments on those policies, but at the next sitting we must approve them. With regard to COID amendment, the CFO has already approached, it was a medium term issue, we've approached National Treasury to try to address this matter on revenue recognition. And my indication is that the National Treasury has come back and said they cannot give us an exemption. So we're looking at amending our legislation to address that particular issue. With regard to the amendments, I'll give a report in a separate slide. With regard to revenue management policy, as I've said, we're waiting to approve them in the next meeting. With regard to the assessment model, because currently we are found wanting by the AG, because the way we charge premiums to employers, we have 102 premium classes that we apply. So employers in the economy, we don't collect. For example, under a normal insurance, when you register for an insurance, they say to you, pay 13,000 a month or 3,000 a month. In the compensation fund, for example, if you are in transport, there's a premium for that. If you are in the sea, you're doing fishing, there's a premium for that. But if you go deep sea fishing, different premium. So we're sitting with premiums of sitting at around 102. So the management of those premium classes is a problem, because employers keep on changing those premiums. They keep on coming and saying, I'm no more in deep sea now. I'm now fishing closer to the shore. So you must change the premium. So your revenue can never be correct, because employers will always look for the cheapest class that they may use to be charged. With Code of Claims validation, I think it's an issue of IT system that needs to look into that. And also, we are looking at changing the financial management system of the commission fund. I think the other issue that we're looking at was document management, which is a filing system. We have embarked on a process now to introduce smart forms. And I think the project will start soon. We've signed the contract, and the consultant have started to do the scoping exercise. In the area of finance, we've finally capacitated the finance area. We were just waiting to see the results. We hope that the consultants whom the CFO has appointed will be able to transfer the skills to the members. As I've said, to get a clean audit report, we see that there's a long-term outcome, which we still said is a 3 outcome when we reported to SCOPA last year. With regards to policies, I think we should be able to finalize those in this current financial year. And then the program management office, I think we should be able to have it before the end of the financial year. With regards to performance information, I must say that we have met yesterday, and I think we all these commitments that our colleagues have made in this four slides, we have already completed that exercise. We have new indicators now, and we have also new targets and new strategic goals. Then the next slide then basically takes us to the claims that we have paid in the previous financial year. You'll notice that in 2011-2012, we registered 141,000 claims. In 2012-13, it was 196,000. In 2013-14, it went to 310,000. Out of that, we have accepted 260,000 in 2013-14, which shows a bigger improvement compared to the previous 2 years. And also, you'll notice that the repudiation level was very low in the current year. And also, the claims that we could not approve because of information that was outstanding were sitting at around 50,000. The table below also gives a comparison of the awards that we've made and the different benefits that we are paying. You will realize that for pension payments, we paid 736 million rands, and then in 2012-13 it was about 689, and in 2013-14 I think there's a tier for that. It's supposed to be 789 million that year. We have paid.
I just want to make sure because it's printed 689.407. So is it 789?
I think it's 789.695.914.
So it increased, it does not decrease.
Yeah, it has increased. It has increased. With regard to temporary total disability, these are pensions we pay to people who might have been injured, but the percentage of injury is less than 31%. In compensation fund, if you are injured and your disability is 31% or more, we call it total disablement, which is good. Then we grant you a pension. With temporary total disablement, it's where you are less, the injury is less than 31%. We give you a once-off lump sum, so there's no monthly pension. In respect of those, you will see that in the 2013 financial year, the figure came to 69 million rands compared to 94 million in 2011-13. with regard to permanent disability, we're sitting at 87 million for 2013-14. Then there's also a constant attendance allowance. This is the money that we pay to nursing assistants in the event where somebody has received total disablement and cannot assist himself on a number of issues. So we pay for the services of a nursing assistant to assist that person. So these are the figures that we've paid over the years. If you break it down by region, you realize that Eastern Cape for 2013-14, the number was 1,300. Gauteng is the largest. Followed by, I think, Western Cape. Gauteng and Western Cape are the largest, and Eastern Cape. The other, unspecified, those are the cases where we process them from head office, and they were not distinguished by province where they come from. Then I would report around the challenges that we are facing in the organization. I think our IT system is the biggest problem, and I think the department appeared before SCOPA, I think in February this year, to try to explain how they're going to address that particular issue. At the moment, the performance of IT system is very low, and I'm told now the department is looking at improving the storage facility for us to be able to improve our performance. The turnaround times in the processing of claims, It has been an issue because the system that we were using before were highly manual-based systems, and I think as of the 4th of August, we've tried to address that particular issue by introducing a new claims management system. The backlog in the processing of claims and payments, I'll just need to explain why we pick up backlog. In a normal claims administration system where claims are submitted electronically, the system is able to pick up, for example, if this invoice was submitted before, and then it will say this is a system. In a manual environment, what happens is that when a doctor has sent an invoice and 30 days has lapsed, no money has been received, he sends the same invoice again. So you find that we're processing more than 3 or 4 invoices from the same doctor for the same incident, and we keep on rejecting them. And that is also consuming our time and hence the backlog. Sometimes the backlog that we may have it might be genuine backlog plus a backlog of duplicates. So now with the introduction of the new system, we hope to address that particular issue, because once an invoice has got in, the system is able to record it, and once a second invoice comes in, it will be able to pick it back and say, I've received you before, so you're not due for processing. The other issue that we are facing is a delay in reporting of accidents. Employers sometimes do not report accidents, not because they don't want to, but because of fear that it might affect the premium in the following year. So they'll try by all means not to report the accidents. I think the human capacity issue, I've raised it earlier on, and I think it's a process to address us. And also the issue of document management, where I've indicated that we have already procured the services of a service provider to implement the smart forms, which are electronic forms, which we no longer have to complete them manually. The records management system, I think with that, we will also address the issue of the records management system once you automate the paper filing system. I think we had a challenge with the unions in trying to get our decentralization process moving smoother, and I think as of to date, I must indicate that that process has been resolved with the unions, and we have now begin the process to decentralize our functions into the province. And I must say today that we are fully decentralized as I speak. I think there was an issue of the contract with the service provider, which I think is still holding us at bay at the moment, where the contract with EOH, which has expired, and we do not have the full IT support. I think the issue of incomplete information, I think it's an issue of doctors sometimes not submitting medical reports, because for us to be able to adjudicate a claim, employer must report an accident and a doctor must also submit a report to say, I've treated X for these injuries, so that we can compare between the report of the employer and the treatment that the doctor has given for us to be able to say we accept liability for this thing. The issue of begging details is a requirement in terms of FICA, that if we're to pay somebody into a bank account, we need to verify the banking details of that person. We still have issues around the fraudulent activities that are affecting the organization, that is a collusion between service providers and our staff in defrauding the organization. Part of the thing that we have implemented as I speak now, we've developed a new assessment model. As I've said earlier on, we're sitting with 102 premium classes. We've commissioned an investigation, and then we're sitting now with a report that has reduced all those premium classes from 102 to 5, and we hope to legislate for the 5 premiums. We also have got a permission from the minister to scope the new roadmap for our IT environment, and I think CETA is already submitted their resources to assist us in scoping the new roadmap. As I've said earlier on, the program management office, our website unit has already completed the work. They've done the job evaluation, and the submission has gone to the minister already. We have also introduced what we call social responsibility investment to the tune of about 3.8 billion rand, which was put aside for job creation, infrastructure, and also for the provision of health facilities to assist our workers. That fund is managed by the Public Investment Commissioner. They're the ones who are identifying the potential partners they can partner with to utilize the social investment fund for achieving those objectives I've mentioned. We are also looking at establishing a new unit, which is called the Payroll Audit Unit, which will be going out to employers to check as to whether the payrolls that are declaring to us are actually the true payrolls that are not hiding anything. We are also set up a unit to address the issues of the AG, to try to move our way out of the disclaimer. We also have finalized the amendment bill of the compensation fund, and we hope that the minister, once he's ready, should table it before cabinet. And in the bill, basically, I will indicate earlier on, we're trying to put in place mechanism that will address some of the issues that we have. I think the new claims management system, as I've said, has been implemented as of the 4th of August. Basically, the amendments of COIDA, as I've said earlier, they are aimed at addressing specific issues. I'll just pick up specific areas where I'll indicate what are the new things that the Act is trying to do. Is to try to provide for rehabilitation and reintegration and early return to work. Basically, at the moment, if you're injured and disabled, the compensation fund only covers your medical expenses, and we also pay you the pension, we forget about you. However, in the new legislation, what we're saying basically is that there must be a treatment protocol agreed between the fund and the doctors, so that this person can easily fully recover faster, so that they can also go back to work. So there's also an element of working closer with employers to ensure that once a person is injured and is in hospital, there are plans at work to accommodate him back when he comes back. So that is one of the issues in the legislation that we're going to put. We also wanted to regulate the use of healthcare facilities and also to regulate dispute resolution. Because at the moment, if an employee is unable with the decision of the commissioner, for example, if we decide your pension is so much and we are not happy with that, the process of dispute resolution takes long. It goes through the court system. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to make it easier for workers to access the dispute resolution mechanism. Monitoring and enforcement, as I've said earlier on, we need to get into this workspace to be able to make sure that our inspectors are able to enforce health and safety in the workplace. In the new system that I've mentioned earlier on, is only covering the medical claims payment, pension, and pension payments, and the total temporary disability payments. That is the first phase that we've implemented. The system was derived from the Rand Mutual Assurance, which is a licensee of the compensation fund in terms of the Compensation Act. That system was procured for free at no charge. What we are paying basically is for the maintenance and support of that particular system. It is a system that has been tried and tested, and we hope that it will eliminate all our problems in the medical and compensation area, if it's well implemented. We have concluded the service level agreements. What we are busy working on was the issue of the switching houses, because what we are saying now, we'll no longer be receiving invoices manually. All doctors, for example, in hospitals, will have to submit their invoices for payment via the switching houses. I think there's also an issue of storage, which I've mentioned that the department is addressing it. Because storage is creating much problem of performance, in the sense that the system is very slow. It takes long to process one claim. So with the storage resolution, we hope that we'll be able to address that particular issue. What I may say that at the moment we're 1 month away from the new system. there are challenges, which we call them teething problems, where staff members are very much concerned because with this new system, overtime is going to be an issue of the past. Because if you look at the productivity level that the system is demanding, for example, from one officer who used to process 50 claims, 50 invoices a day, the standard of the system is around 300 invoices a day. So if you move from 50 to 300, so what it basically tells you, there might be no need for overtime going forward. And I think that is an issue for staff who have been used to overtime for many years. So it's a change management issue which we're addressing. There's a high level of resistance from service providers because the system is able to pick up things that they were doing in the past that we could not be able to detect, which are being picked up at the moment. So the biggest resistors, I must put it on the table here, is a third party. Those people who used to buy accounts from doctors and charging them and bringing the claims to the fund. If the system is well implemented, within a year, within 3 years, I think, or 5 years, those people might be out of business. So it's understandable, the resistance. You might see in the newspapers the accusations and attacks that they are putting against the implementation of the new system. But we will persevere to ensure that the system is successful. The budget, in terms of the CFO's presentation, sees as follows. For 2014-15, which is the year in which we are in, we are basically saying that we are budgeting for around 5.3 billion. Corporate management is around 57 million. Financial management is 221 million. Operations management is about 4.1 billion. And corporate services is about 843 million. For 2015-16, these are the figures that they're projecting there up to 2018-19. Medium-term expenditure estimates, compensation of employees is estimated at 430 million and 145 versus an approved budget of about 580 million. The forecast for 2015 to 2018 sits at 686,683 and 728 million in the 2018 financial year. With regard to the executive summary of the compensation budget, the budget approved for compensation of employees, as I've said earlier, is 580 million. The actual for 2013-12 was 336 million. For 2014 allocation is 430 million. With goods and services, the approved budget is 4.7 billion. The allocation for 2013-14 is about 8.1 billion. Capital expenditure, it's about 7.2 million. The allocation is about 14 million, and the actual for the 2012-13 was about 4 million. Total expenditure budgeted for, approved was 5.3. The allocation was 8.6. And in the previous financial year, 2012-13, the actual was 2.8 billion. Total revenue that was approved is 12.9. What was received is, it's allocated is 9 million, and the actual that was collected in the 2013-12-13 financial year was 12.3 billion. So we had a surplus of around 9.5 billion in 2012-13 financial year, and we're looking at a surplus of around 375 million, and the approved surplus was about 7.6. I think the CFO will explain those numbers. These numbers, the surplus, why are we budgeting, for example, for a 7.6 billion surplus in the 2014 financial year? The allocation of the budget for provincial operation, I think it stays around 3 million, KwaZulu-Natal 7 million, and Eastern Cape 7 million, Western Cape 6.6, Northern Cape 2.6, Mpumalanga 1.7, and the Northwest 1.4, Gauteng 3.8, and Mpopo 6.2 million. The MTF budget projections are as follows. Projection for 2015-16 is compensation of employees 636 million. Goods and services is 4.9 billion. Capital expenditure is 7.5 million. Total expenditure projected is about 5.5 billion. Revenue projected is about 13.7 billion. And then the projected surplus for 2015-16 financial year is going to be 8.1 billion. As I've said, these are big numbers. The CFO must explain these big numbers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG, with your team. I think in most cases these numbers are self-explanatory. I only want to ask the CFO to reread these figures because they are self-explanatory members. I'm looking at the time, trying to manage. But where you don't understand, members might ask those questions. I will allow now I'm not going also to ask any additions from the department. I would rather shoot straight to members to ask questions where you feel strongly. You have got some clarity questions based on the presentation that has been made. And in the response of the department, those who did not speak might want to add and clarify their positions as they respond. So I'll give over to see honourable member. You are my friend, and honourable whip. You are number one, number two, and number three. Number three, number four, Fana. Honourable member Mukwena. In that sequence. Thank you. Fana,
can I shoot?
Of course, I've identified you.
Thank you, honourable chair, for recognising me. Yes, through you, Chair, I must first ask this on the overall mapping of negative outcomes per focus as per page 5 that I've got here. Specifically on the supply chain management, and I've heard about the short, medium and long term. Now, the first thing is on supply chain management, this is law. This must be adhered to. Why is there even a question on long term to sort this out? To me, it's not acceptable. There should not even be a medium term, because it should be right from the start. It's right or it's wrong. You can't have a medium or a long term on this. This I don't understand. And then also what I would like to see is your comparison on your audit reports on 2012-2013, because this is the first time that this department comes to this specific committee. I was unfortunately not on Public Works previously. So then it comes, and I'm quickly going to put that specific question to my last question.
This is labor, not public.
Sorry, labor, yeah, sorry. I'm almost like in these court cases, you know. I don't want to sound like lawyers here today. But what I need to know is, if we look at this last page, we say our priorities 2014-15. Now, this is priorities 2014-15, implementing a comprehensive plan to address the disclaimer of the audit opinion. Now my question is, and I've luckily got this new technology that I could ask the Shadow Minister of Labour the questions. And apparently there was disclaimers for a few years now. Now I need to know why only now 2014-15 we are implementing a comprehensive plan. Why not already 2011 or 2012? Why are we doing a 2014-15 if it's been disclaimers all these years? I need to understand this. Then my last one, I'm going to make it short that other members can also get time. On page 13, comparison of claims registers accepted and re-updated. Now, if you look at temporary table 3 and table 4, it says temporary total disability and permanent disability. Now, if you look at the years, 2011, 12 and 13, it decreases dramatically from 94,000 from 94 to 69 million on the temporary disability, but on the permanent disability it gives you exactly the opposite figure. It picks up from 59 to 87, so the one is totally decreasing on temporary disability, but on permanent disability it's increasing. Now to me it doesn't make sense. If temporary disability is decreasing rapidly, why is it that the permanent disability is doing the opposite? They should do the same, except if there's a change in status of this disability. This is the only thing I can think of. If you can please explain this to me, because I'm not a chopper pilot or an aeroplane pilot, but this doesn't make sense to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Number two, please.
My observation on the presentation is that we have more challenges than success stories. On that basis, I would be in a better position to understand perhaps what exactly the challenges are if I would have been privy to the turnaround plan itself. That the commissioner is talking about. It would put me in a better position to understand exactly where do we come from, where are we going. I therefore, Chair, feel that it is perhaps important that going forward we be privy to the turnaround plan itself, even before the mid-term budget policy review of the department, so that we understand exactly where the department is going. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I greet all of you with Assalamu Alaikum. DG and your respected team, we appreciate your presentation. I have a number of items here, but I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. There are a number of commitments with target dates by 2015. Chairperson, I feel that there should be some follow-up and some monitoring of these of this progress in this direction. The issue with regard to the misconduct, the financial misconduct, if we could get a value of what this misconduct, the amount that has been against the present budget. Very quickly, I want to say that with regard to the amendment to the Act and the rehabilitation, I think you need to be commended on that. I think that is an excellent approach. Okay, the provincial budget allocation, I noticed that the Eastern Cape compared to other provinces is extremely high. I trust you guys are taking notes of it because I'm going through this very fast. But the one that I wish to emphasize on, which is my last point, is the issue of IT. I noticed that it has been identified as the most important challenge. I'm just wondering whether the department has a directorate in the information technology. If there isn't, then my humble opinion, for whatever it's worth, is that this should be made a priority in your work study, and that the IT systems of the department, of the compensation fund of the Department of Labour, should be linked with the Department of Home Affairs as well as the Department of Health. This, I think, would facilitate the process. Also, improvement in the IT system would definitely support, you know, it would make the work, it's a question of working smart rather than working hard. The dynamic nature of which was indicated with regard to the employers and the deep sea and the locals here, that those things that are changing on a daily basis, if we have the technology is available out there, if we implement this type of technology within the systems, I think we will see excellent results come out of this. Chairperson, I have a number of other things, but I think those are my priorities at this stage. Thank you very much.
All members of the board, serious matters. This report is open for questioning. What happened at the honourable member Ukwena?
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, DG, and your team. I'm not very strong on financials and strategic plans and so on and so forth. So my comment is on because I was looking at the compensation fund, and I was looking at the sectoral determinations. And sometimes, because I have to wear two hats between work in Parliament and work in the media space, it just occurred to me that we have a pending problem in the media space at the moment, and it's a labour problem. Practitioners within the sector are considered to be what is called independent contractors, meaning that their work is independent, and that therefore they cannot be covered for employee benefits as such. The problem with that thinking is that practitioners within the industry are told where to work, how to work, what tools to work with, and so on and so forth. So the determination is not by themselves, so there's nothing independent about what they do. Everything that they do seems to be employee, within the brackets of employees. And I'm raising this in light of the saga that we're looking at now, the generation saga. It's not a generation saga. It's an industry issue. I just wanted to call the Department of Labor into that discussion, because specifically on the compensation fund. Practitioners within within the media industry are not covered by this. And that's because I was looking at your sectoral determinations, and they're not covered by those. They're not covered by CCMA. They're not covered by any other work-related coverages that a normal employee would get. I just wanted to call the department to that discussion, because I think the Department of Labor has been left out of that discussion for far too long. That is one. My two is more of an intellectual thing. It seems to me that there's a duplication of duties between the compensation fund and the road accident fund. It seems to me. I stand to be corrected. So then it seems to me that there could be a sharing of resources. IT, for instance. There are many other issues. You know, you must be sharing resources for medical practitioners, all of those things. I think perhaps there should be a look into how the two can help each other. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we'll have only one round because of time constraints, because I'm pushing very hard that by 1:30 we should start filing out and prepare for sitting this afternoon. So if you ask your questions, be specific, direct, so that we can get responses. I've noted my honourable member here, Mama Falinga, your eyes are top. Makua, honourable member. got two hands. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I just wanna, in my presentation.
Can I request the members to switch off their phone and their mic? Because what do you don't want to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, they're sabotaging. Now, Chair, on my presentation, it's, I'm on slide 7. The disclaimers and matters of emphasis by the AG opinion. Did you don't, it, and I must appreciate upfront that the presentation speaks to the real issue, does not seek to create a rosy picture of the department. But however, it's worrying that the outcomes remains unchanged, and you don't speak about what the AG is emphasizing lately is issues of consequences for things that are not done right, so that we correct all other issues that are remaining unchangeable moving forward. And I don't hear the presentation seeking to address, I mean, employees are used to working overtimes and there's human capital constraints, and we don't hear you speaking to the other issues. I think on the other issues that I have noted, other members have covered me, and I think that's all from me, Chair.
Thank you very much. Member Van Linden.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a couple of questions, and I'm not, you must stop me on a specific question if you, which I shouldn't be saying to you, but if it has been asked before because I was outside of it. On slide 4, under the CF strategic outcomes, you referred to benefits to the beneficiaries of the fund, and then you also referred to the employers. Do you in your IT systems actually have those two databases fully updated and functional? Then, on the following slide, you refer to summary of performance for the 2013-14 financial year, and under legal services, you have only achieved 20% of the cases, and there's 80% outstanding. Why are these outstanding? And then it's very difficult to handle an audit report or an audit the general report without sitting with the actual document in front of you. So we've got a one-sided story here. And because this is a new portfolio to this committee, we should have been furnished with a full audit report. I'm going to skip that. What is of concern, and I don't know if you mentioned it, but there are 240,000 unregistered claims. Where in the process are they being addressed? In one of these documents, you page slide 25, you refer to systems, the last column says, not accepted, outstanding information. Now that becomes a very convenient thing, but on the other hand, it affects your turnaround time on claims. So our system is, how do you communicate with the clients to ensure that the turnaround time is shortened? Because if we look at the particular market that you work with, we have this problem that they may not have a phone number anymore, or that they, it's difficult when you do not have a job and you have a claim and you are medically disabled. So that's really important. And I think that for the time being, Chairperson, is all. But I would like to say to this department, when you are in business, they are very efficient to come to you and say, are you compliant? What are you doing? They are. I must commend them for that. But back at home where we are now, it's most disappointing that they have a bad disclaimer, not a negative audit report, it's a new invention of a word. A disclaimer is a disclaimer is a disclaimer, and it's been here for a number of years. So it must be, like my colleague here said, why do you want to go there now? It must be addressed. Otherwise, we must place this department under administration. Well, if it can't work, then that's the way to go. And Chairperson, you know, this is one department that did not answer my written questions in the fourth parliament, the last year of the fourth parliament. And they harass you on the one side when you're in business, but they don't answer the questions on the other side. So I think we need to ask this department to also please respond to the questions that we ask them, written or oral. Thank you.
Thank you, members. DG, we've got a lot of questions, even those members who have not asked questions. Not that they don't want to ask. They do. I think what we must understand each other is that the NCOP is the coalface at one level of parliament, having direct interaction with their various provinces and constituencies. As a result, our questions will be more of at home, you know. And secondly, your reporting to the NCOP should have more the realities in terms of the breakdown, so that when we go to our constituencies, we are direct. It's unlike in the NA. Yes, we're also policymakers, but surely our approach would be more of a direct interaction with the offices, the people and so on, and the statistics, so that we deal with the matter. The second issue is just that we don't have enough time. We've got many questions based on your presentation. You know, I'm looking at your core business in terms of this unit, compensation for the disablement. In other words, the protection of vulnerable workers. The protection of vulnerable workers. That says a mouthful. You can go to town about that and dissect that to the core. But we're not going to go that way because of time constraints. But I'm saying we need to be much more smarter in the presentations and also the hard facts, so that you don't raise our adrenaline to go deeper. You can go deeper on these matters, and we will, because we're mandated by the Constitution to do that in terms of our role. But because of question of time, we will not do that. You can sense that members are having serious questions here, but they are smart today. This matter of the clean audit, I think we need to observe it. You see, this all issue of disclaimers, it takes me straight to the PFMA, Section 35, going down to Section 38, in terms of the responsibility of the accounting officer. Not the political officer, the accounting officer would want to hinge on the PFMA in terms of the responsibility of the accounting officer, and in relation to what is happening, why only always this consistent disclaimer? But I know you did try to explain it just briefly here in your turnaround strategy, but I think that's not enough, because there are no consequences for those who have been acting and so on. You are silent on the question of consequences to that effect. So I'm saying I don't want to raise many questions, but I do have a lot of questions on your presentation. The question of the vacant rate, it's a positive step toward the right direction after you've met SCOVA. I'm not sure what your organogram says. How far are you in terms of the percentage, let alone the figures, in populating that organogram of yours in as far as the critical post and other levels, so that you don't overburden an official lot of work, reducing her lifespan because you want everything to be done by this one person. So we are interested in your organogram at times to check to what extent has it been covering your officials in as far as what is obtaining on the ground. Was there a disclaimer? has got a serious meaning year after year. Disclaimer. I don't ambitious couple the disclaimer. Maybe you can interpret it much better. But if we analyze it and come closer to it through the microscopic eye and all the embarrassment, listen, disclaimer. I wouldn't like to interpret that, but it's a serious matter. If you interpret or translate a disclaimer to an ordinary English interpretation, it's a serious matter, this one. I'm going to lend a bit by my honorable members. I will not repeat that. You see, you set up a board for misconduct. Set up a misconduct board. I would love to be interested in who are those members in terms of who sits in that board, by how many people is it constituted, the board, and what is its time frame. Who can use the number now as long as you are there, and so on. Some women can email, but let us stop here. Otherwise, I'm like this. When I start, I don't want to stop. Maybe other questions we give you in writing so that you respond in writing. Family members would also make some motions where necessary so that we get responses and so on because of time constraints. I would like you, DG, to be very straight to the point. Only 5 minutes left for you to be here so that we give, because we are encroaching on the time of the other department. But also, I must say, surely after we come back, we will have to re-invite you, because we are a very critical department in the lives of our people down there, especially in certain provinces, as the farm workers, the domestic workers, and so on. It's an interesting department, big time. It's an interesting big time, because it deals with our people's lives. We'll have to invite you, making that proposal. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. In 5 minutes, I'm sure there's very little that one can cover, but we'll try and do our best. Maybe let's, like you said, give to the team that you do not talk, and then I'll take on some of the questions.
Let me just probably deal with the Financial Standards Board. It consists of officials in the organization, but the board is chaired by any independent person who is a member of the audit committee. So it's independent from the chairperson point of view, and it reports to the audit committee. So whatever misconduct might have happened in supply chain or in financial management, that board will review each case and make recommendations to the commissioner and the audit committee for implementation. So we hope that it will be able to address most of these irregular expenditures that are appearing, coming again. On the issue of unregistered claim, I must say that it is because of the manual system that we're operating on. An employer, just to give a quick indication, the employer do not report extended compensation fund. When you get injured, they take you to a doctor and they leave everything there. So the doctor will treat you thereafter, then send the thing to the commissioner with an invoice. But unfortunately, we can't pay the invoice because the claim is not registered, it's not adjudicated. So that in itself causes the delays and problems. So the new system that we've introduced, employers have access to it 24/7, they can report an incident anytime. So that when the patient arrives at the doctor, that claim is already there, they can process and then you can adjudicate instantly. And then so that when the invoice comes, you can pay. So that issue has been addressed by the new system implemented on the 4th of August. So let's allow the system to check. On the issue of the audit opinion and disclaimer and action plan, I'll ask the CFO to deal with that. Supply chain issues also, the CFO will deal with that. We will provide a turnaround plan. I will make it available. I will send it to the director of the committee. And then on the issue of the road extension fund and the commission fund, I think it's a positive proposal. It's something that we can look we can look at. The disclaimers were in the last 2 years, 2013 and 2014-15 financial year, before it was the qualifications. The databases were now linked to the Home Affairs database, as I've said, which allows us to know if you're a citizen or not a citizen. However, with the employers, we are working on a future process to integrate with the UIF and SAF. I think I'll allow the CFO to respond on issues of the negative outcome in supply chain and the consequences thereof. Basically, just to answer the only issue of the consequences, I said the financial misconduct board, I think, will start giving us that master to start applying consequence management. I think the CFO will be able to deal with those issues.
Okay. Make sure the board was an internal thing, am I right? It's not a COVID, it's a board.
It's a board, yeah.
It's a board.
Yeah,
that's a board. Okay. All right. CFO, Modi, Liba, yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would address the questions raised by the members, honorable members. The first one, being the financial misconduct, there was a question relating to financial misconduct. How much is it in the financial misconduct register? At the moment, it's about 600 million sitting there, dating back a number of years, about 4 or 5 years. But the majority of the amount sitting there is 518, which relates to the concessionary loans or advance payments made. Of which 82 million is relating to the supply chain management processes where we have not followed the right procurement processes. But out of the total amount of the 518 advance payments, we have managed to recover the amount of 84 million already, and there are efforts, you know, to recover the rest, and those that have been paid, those advances have confirmed that indeed they owe us those, and we have disclosed accordingly properly in the financial statements and in the efforts to recover. At the moment, the financial misconduct board, as the commissioner has indicated, is investigating, you know, the rest of the instances that relate to the 82 million supply chain management processes not followed. And there will be processes to try and get the financial misconduct cases addressed. Out of the 71 cases in total, 20 have been investigated, they are finalized, so they will be tabled at the financial misconduct board for finalization, and then it will be then be reported on a periodic basis. The question on supply chain management is why we're having a long-term actions or to address supply chain management. The response to that is that the way we structured at the moment at the compensation fund is that supply chain management is cluttered with other functions that ideally should be separated from supply chain, like asset management, facilities management, auxiliary management, including security management. So the findings are not only about supply chain or procurement. Related findings. I agree fully that the supply chain specific findings are compliance, you know, matter related, but the rest are actually relevant or affecting the other elements of the functions within supply chain. So one of the actions that I'm trying to put in place is to ensure that those functions are separated, and then the specific focus to ensure dedicated effort to supply chain to better service the core businesses and the other elements within the fund, because there's challenges in terms of that process supply chain. So we need to be specifically focusing in terms of supply chain management processes and leave the rest of the other functions elsewhere to be managed elsewhere, even if it's within the CFO's office or program. issues of the negative audit opinion, honorable members, there has been a concerted effort recently in the last couple of months to really focus and, you know, address the issue of the audit outcomes. I think this effort started in October last year when I was appointed, 2013, to ensure that we have come up with a different strategy. We hold managers accountable by appointing program managers, by appointing responsibility managers, and giving them responsibilities and accountability in terms of consequences, you know, for addressing certain things of audit, for addressing certain things of risk management, and in terms of other processes that the manager should actually be addressing. So we have come up with a plan, a high level, and a detailed plan pay finding, which we have agreed with the AGSA that they will be monitoring on a monthly basis before reporting to the audit committee, before reporting to the other structures within the fund, and then externally outside of the fund. And then and that we've agreed also in terms of the ex-committee we held, that we need to ensure that we, you know, give accountability and implement the relevant delegations with regards to clearing audit findings and having a system in place to ensure periodic reporting, financial statements, and then as well performance information, and that be reported periodically to the commissioner and then the other structures within the CF. The view and the agreement with the AGSA is that the strategy that we're applying will eventually assist us in overcoming the negative audit opinions that we faced ourselves in, that we've been experiencing for the number of years. I think Commissioner, I have covered the questions raised, but I need to be corrected if maybe I missed something else. Thank you.
In your response, all those elements that you raised, the units, because here we're talking finance. Now you are giving us an impression that it's too much work for you when you deal with the finance, because you do have a team that must fit into you. Now, the way you respond, it's as if it's a huge responsibility, not being able to yourself, is it a CFO, to deal with those matters. That's what I'm getting from you. And yet it's finance that you're talking about.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair. What I meant is that the we need a new directorate, for instance, a new function, even though it's within the office of the CFO, so that if there's a director that is responsible for supply chain, dedicated for supply chain management functions, and then the other one dedicated for the other elements that I mentioned, like asset management, security, auxiliary facilities management.
As we are saying it, then you are correcting that statement. Thank you. Shall we move on, or is there something that you want to respond on? Thank you.
Just briefly, on the social security integrated approach, there is a process at government level where the respective departments are now finalizing a draft discussion document that is going to be presented to cabinet, and then it will be released for public engagement on how the integrated social security process is going to either complement or work together. On the question of the whole status of us workers not being covered, I think this has been part of the bigger debate around the labor broking, the extent to which they negotiate on their behalf, and the whole question of extension of benefits to such workers. And I must say, we are very much fully aware, and we are on board on that debate. Part of the amendments to the Labor Relations Act 6.2 also address that component. However, there are still other elements, such as the unemployment insurance fund, the compensation fund, the whole question of pension schemes for us workers,
that remain outside, and this also goes to SMMEs, domestic workers as well. So there's still a whole range of workers out there that are not enjoying the benefits of the legislation that has been produced since 1994. On the question of ICT, yes, the process of, we have taken over the IT management from EOH, which was a private company. We've now established an internal ICT unit, and that ICT unit also provides for the various units such as the funds and the branches to have business analysts to assist them in the development of the IT. The 11 years that we have had the DPP has made the department seriously suffer in a number of instances. And the question of linking our IT systems with those of other departments, that is also a process that is being done under the CETA leadership, and in the process also trying to make sure that security aspects in terms of the rights of people with access are also limited or maintained, so that we don't have unintended consequences are some of the issues that have been addressed as part of our security and IT participation. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
This is at Magisumi. Let's stop now. My worry is the Department of Transports and fully monopolized the meeting for two departments, and I've already yielded towards you. Some responses you can do it in writing. Can I request that, Obon, if you're not offended, the gentleman who wanted to respond?
Yeah, Jay. Please.
Okay.
Chair, I thought as a board member, I just wanted to make a statement that I didn't want members to be left with the impression that as board members, we're really not cracking the whip on our oversight role. And I'm here as part of the delegation of operational staff. I thought it would just be proper to say questions raised here, statements raised here. For me, I'm just confirming the correct questions we are asking at the board and in our subcommittees and as an audit committee, and they're just strengthening the position as a board member to say these are the kind of things we raise in different substructures of the board and our oversight role, and including some investigation work that has been done within the CF itself was instituted by the subcommittees of the board itself. So I just wanted members to get comfort that the structure of the oversight that is it's doing its level best as well as part of the responsibility you have here as one of the layers in driving to the same goal that all of us are trying to get an effective and efficient compensation fund department. I thought I must just make that statement.
I'm surprised me, I can see that they do have questions. But I don't want to men. Because now I'm going to have to tell you how the board. And you must go deeper than what you're saying. That's why I don't want to open up with you. I will call you again to come and give you ample of time so that you go to town about this matter that you are raising, including EOH. Now that you've moved away from it, the contractual obligations thereof and so on, we did not go to that, the gravity of fraud, if you quantify that in terms of rents and cents, and how many people and so on, up to a point of execution if it needs be. We did not go down that route. So I'm saying we'll have to call you again. And now, since 2008, who says that, why don't we disclaimer and so on, you know, as this one goes along the book. But I just want to make sure that, make you aware that we are alert by our ears, and we'll come back to you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And go see DG with your team. For those who did not speak, you are still men, if you have spoken. So, first again, you pull me quietly, sit tight very quickly, we'll transport. Can we do that? Sit tight to transport.
Those that we speak them. Not New York, not Michigan.
Boston would be the closest,
Boston,
but it's like 2.5 hours away.
2 hours?
Yeah, 2.5.
2.5 hours? Oh, driving.
Yeah. Without traffic.
Without traffic.
Yeah.
So it's a bit quiet in your area, and it's not
very crazy,
like New York
and
Las Vegas and all these places.
No, not at all.
Not like those places.
Oh, that's nice though. Let me make sure I grab my paper.
Thank you very much. Shall we give over? You are welcome, Department of Transport. Now, we are under pressure. You'll remember that we did give you some time last time. Your slot was in the last meeting, and you did not pitch up, though you had an apology, which we were not very comfortable. I must raise that matter, because we were not very comfortable in the manner in which that apology was crafted. But you are here. We will give you 15 minutes for both presentations. 15 minutes, strictly because it's about the convention. Conventions are in nature a national competence, but the SOP is a very important component to round up that agreement. So we want to hear from you, and then thereafter we take a position as a way forward. Members of this NCOP, the disadvantage is that the same members must go and prepare for debate this afternoon, and so on. So that's why we are under pressure. The time now is 12:03, and surely by quarter past you must be done with your presentation. We've got other commitments that are very serious that we need to engage on. Thank you. Over to you, sir, DG, and your team. Whilst we are putting up the systems in place, somebody must introduce. Can you introduce yourselves? Also, DG is trying to relax. Must introduce. My time to come, and then you won't speak again after you've spoken. Well, I know you can talk. Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Mthunzi Madia. I'm a director for maritime policy and legislation.
Good day, honorable members. My name is Mpho Munyani. I'm deputy director of maritime policy and legislation.
Good day, honorable members. I'm Sipho Mbata. I'm the head of maritime legislation at South African Maritime Safety Authority.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Mawethu Vilan. I'm the acting DG of the Department of Transport. Let's see 2 minutes of presentation.
This is the presentation. This is the presentation
that we have, ladies and gentlemen.
Honourable Chair, I just would like to know, you just heard the acting, you know, I don't know, is this Hollywood again or what, because it's always the acting DG, the acting, this, is there not a DG at the moment, what is the situation, just before we begin, because it's always a story, then it's another acting, we see it through the years. I just want to know, is this for the filmmaking companies, because what's happening?
He is putting on his system. I will respond. He is still acting. He is still acting until they appoint a new DG. I know the process is in place to get a new DG. And he has been acting for quite some time. That's why I'm raising it myself up front, acting. Now, he must just live with it. He's still acting.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, he will correct me. But if I'm right, he must just continue with the presentation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm still acting. it's end of this matter, yeah. Thank you so much, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I must indeed apologize for the mishap. I'm sure you see today is me also trying to shuttle and around the number of meetings that are scheduled. But nonetheless, I then have asked other team members to attend to other meetings, and then I'll come to talk to the two conventions, or the convention MAPOL 7. Chairperson, we've sent in the presentation, but what I just want to do is just to give you a background. I have Osi Pombata and the team around that will then take us through the presentation. But I thought it's important that I provide context on why MAPOL and why the two annexures. Because MAPOL has six annexures. We have ascended to the others. We were asking the two specifically, Annex 4 and Annex 6, that we then annex to, and then we then help us with a regulations to deal with what in the global context are serious challenges. The two annexures, Annexure 4, which is the regulation for prevention of pollution by sewage from ships. Ships carry people, and as a result, people discrete, and as they travel, they then discharge. And therefore, in the discharge of that, this regulation deals with how that discharge happens, how that discharge must be managed. So that's the first annex. The second annex is the regulation for prevention of air pollution by ships. You'd understand, many members would understand that South Africa is engaged in a number of engagements, particularly around climate change. Climate change is beginning to affect the way we do business. Climate change begins to affect the way we live. And truly, for us, therefore, as a country, being a destination that is far from our trading partners, a number of issues around climate change are beginning to be a reality. In the event we deal with issues around reductions of emissions, our view is, in us dealing with the issue around reductions of emissions, we've got to look at what we believe are key issues. We are far from our trading partners. Coming to South Africa is a distance. And any additional cost as a result of us being green, and in our view as transport, is that we are supporting and we want to support the move to a low carbon economy. But we've got to be careful not to disadvantage our producers of goods and services. And therefore, whatever we do in in trying to be. Can I hold for the hand? I thought I was interested, but this guy is very interested.
But in the interest of time, we do have hard copies, am I right?
Yeah.
You can take us through the hard copy.
I can take you through the hard copy.
Okay, time is running out.
I'm on page. If you take the cover is one, the content two, the background three, and then the overview. I'm on slide four, which is the overview. These are the annexures, but we are seeking to ascend on annex four and six, and that's what I was trying to say in the context that I thought I needed to give. I think I will ask Obamba to see, to just take us through this, because they, as the people who deal with these things on an ongoing basis, can talk and respond, but I will be here just to help and guide. Page 5.
Thank you, DG, and thank you, Honorable Chair. Basically, I'm going to start with Annex 4, which deals with the sewage from ships. Basically, this convention is aiming at environmental protection from being damaged by sewage that is occurring on board a ship. As you know, that ships they derive a lot of sewage. So this convention, it calls for the ship owner firstly to have the facilities on board in treating the sewage, or if they cannot treat sewage, to have the storage tanks on board. And if they have storage tanks, when they reach a port is required to have the reception facilities to treat sewage. Further, the convention gives us other options as well, that if there is a treatment facility on board, then that sewage can be discharged, but in certain radius. Firstly, within three nautical miles from the coastline. But further, it says that a sewage can also be discharged 12 nautical miles from the coastline. So it gives you that particular option. And also it requires the port itself to provide all those facilities for treatment of sewage. And that is with regard to Annex 4. If Honorable Chair, I'm allowed to move to Annex 5, or I'll take questions for Annex 4. Annex 6, it's with regard to the prevention of air pollution from ships. Basically, it talks about the reduction of emissions of greenhouse gases. We call them sulfur oxide and nitrogen oxide. Basically, this convention, it requires the ship to have the engine equipment that can emit less of greenhouse gas emissions. Further, it calls for the bunker fuel that is used for propelling the ship to meet a certain requirement in terms of the code of sulfur oxide code and also of nitrogen oxide code. So In terms of this convention, there will be an administration in ensuring that the ships they emit according to the convention. Then SAMHSA Maritime Authority will be the implementing agency to ensure that those ships that are visiting our ports they emit less, and also the ships that are flying our flag that emit less. Currently, we do have national legislation that talks to the prevention of pollution from ships, but it doesn't cover Annex 6 and Annex 4. And I'm moving swiftly along, then I'm on consultation page that the way government departments and agencies that are consulted with regard to the adoption of Annex 6, which is TNPA, Environmental Affairs, and SAMHSA was one of them. Also the state law advisors of DECO and Department of Justice were consulted. And you've got the slide on other implications, which is financial implications. Currently, SAMHSA has surveyors to ensure that the postage control for all ships that are coming to visit our port are inspected to comply with the other provisions of MARPOL. But then, as soon as the country has adopted Annex 4 and 6, then that function will be extended to cover sewage and also air pollution provisions of the code.
You see, my understanding about this bill, the Department of Transport through SAMHSA Marine, you want to bring it in line with the international standards because it was firstly introduced in 19, what, if I look at your background, it was in 1984. Okay? In your background, the third bullet point, page 3. I was trying to bring this bill or this, what do you call an action, into line with the international standards. And you request the committee to approve it so that we are on par, not operating in the old order, because we're not part of that before. Secondly, you want that your regulations to be enforced because there's no obligation in terms of other laws, in terms of what is written here. So that you gave, because South Africa is an agent to that, and now you want it to enforce that law, it should be obligatory to those ships that are coming out to our shores to deal with this matter of sewage and so on. Is that what you want to bring?
Yes, Chair. The view from us is that now that we only have these two annexures that are outstanding from us having acceptance of the others, is that in us trying to bring our enforcement elements in line with international obligations, because by international law we are forced to implement this, but we do not have a domestic instrument, and that domestic instrument can only be approved by this parliament. And therefore, our view, we say, for the instrument to be approved, it has to be brought to this committee, for this committee to apply its mind, and this committee recommends that indeed we do table these two annexes to parliament for assenting, so that then the bill and the amendments to the Merchant Shipping Act to make this a reality can then be done.
It will be domesticated because Annexure 4 and 6 are not part, and we are trying to bring that in line with the other annexures.
Yes.
Any questions around the input, ladies and gentlemen? Because it has been done already. It's just that these two. Honourable Member Mukwena and Honourable Member Doc, in that sequence.
Thank you, Chair. Basically, I mean, I agree with both annexures, and I see the necessity for both. Except that I would add that for annexure 4, since it's our own domestic version of the agreement, is that I think we should not be afraid to be strong and say that ships must have storage, and ports must have sanitation processes in place. This thing of 3 nautical miles and 12 nautical miles, it should not happen, because then the sewage then affects the sea there, and we should not allow that. We should be strong enough to say that everybody must toe the line and have storage in their ships and then dispatch in when they got on shore. Thanks.
That's a positive contribution in the statement and advice. I think also it is raised somewhere. I've read it just very quickly. It is covered here, but not very clear as you would wish to. But the point will take it. Doc?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Deputy DG and your team. Just two issues. Are we then going to be, all right, we will obviously be monitoring visiting ships to our ports. What happens if, for example, we find that a ship in Her Majesty's service, you know, is found wanting? What happens, you know, give us an idea. The second issue I would like to ask is, will these rules also apply to ships in or warships? From other countries, or is this only for you know, bulk carriers and passenger ships and so on? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Good question. The last honourable member, Makur.
Thank you very much, Chair.
I did ask to be recused, Chair, but just wanted to at this stage register my unqualified support for the recommendations that's been presented, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Very progressive one. Two questions were raised, both commercial and international. You are also under pressure.
I'm under pressure, Patricia, for the
Peter.
Thanks, Chairperson. With respect to the questions as raised by the honourable members, yes, the issue around facilities at ports, Transnet National Ports Authority, in terms of the convention, is obliged to provide them. There are facilities to enable ships to discharge. I will let the lawyer deal with the 3 and the 12 nautical miles. But the second issue in terms of a ship owned by Her Majesty, I guess the Queen, the convention gives us the ability to discharge indiscriminately. The laws as anticipated the convention. However, we therefore need to domesticate them through our laws to give the convention deed. So any ship found to be in violation of the convention will therefore be in violation of South Africa's laws. That's in the South African exclusive economic zone, as well as in literally what we call our shores. So it would not matter. There is no, we will not discriminate. It's indiscriminate application.
Only one or two questions. So who are another talk? I don't hold it. Little 3 questions. No, please.
Okay. Thanks, Honourable Chair. In terms of the Merchant Shipping Act and other related legislation, any ship that is found to be not seaworthy or not complying with any international and local legislation, then SAMHSA has got
is empowered to detain that ship up until all the deficiencies have been rectified, then it can be left to leave the port or the terminal. In terms of not completely not discharging in our waters, it has been found that sewage is not completely toxic even to the ecosystem at the level, but it depends on the quantity of how much it is released. So the allowance to release sewage is with regard if that sewage has been treated in terms of the code. So if it is well treated, then it can be released within a certain radius from the baseline. But also it depends on the quantity that is released. Yeah. I think those were the two questions that I was supposed to address. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Magawa, you must not add on what we have. We've got only two.
Yeah.
Please, it's not toxic. We're not coming from Kwele. You want to make quite quantity.
But it's toxic, that
thing. No, no problem. Don't take too much. You don't want me. So I don't have the Epsom salt.
Yeah.
Out of the just be mindful of that. And the last one was around the warships. Can you just say something around that?
Okay, thanks, Onowuche. Warships are excluded from this regulation, including government ships. But if those government ships are used for commercial purposes, then they are included. So the two annexes will apply to government ships that are used for commercial purposes, but excluding warships, because then it's a different protocol when it comes to warships. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
You can't be a civilian and want to be a military man in the ship. Okay? Doc, well, you must give injections to us and leave the war men to go with it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. We just want to say that at the Select Committee, as the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of Annexure 4 and 6, Annexure 6, and the explanatory memorandum to Annexure 4 and Annexure 6 of the International Convention for the Prevention of Marine Pollution from Ships, that is MARPOL 73 of 78, referred to it, recommendations that the House, in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution, approve the outstanding Annexure 4 and 6 of this said convention. Any objections? Because we do approve this as a Select Committee. Any objections? We do approve your request. I thank you very much. We will sign it and send it off to NCOP and Parliament. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The last part, you are released. Is it okay? You are released. The last issue here with us is about... Can we just quickly adopt the minutes? I know Faba is under pressure, myself, I'm also under pressure. Where are the minutes? Where are the minutes? Where's the program? Ladies and gentlemen, Do you have this program of the NCOP? Do you have this program?
We have it.
Doc, do you have it? They don't have it.
No, we have it.
No, but Doc Pepper does not have it. That's how they say. I'm looking at them. This program, the third term committee report program, on economic and business development. The Tuesday, the 14th, not... 14th October. The first column under date is 12 to 13 August. It's Tuesday, the 14th October. You see it?
Yeah.
Not the 4th. Scratch the 0 and put 1.
No.
It's the 14th, not 04. 1-4, 14 October. At 10 o'clock, there's a briefing by the Department of Small Business Development on policy perspective for SME development and financing to support economic growth, innovation, and employment. Two consideration and adoption of minutes. That meeting will take place here in October when you come back. Not for now. So you must diarize between the 21st and 24th of October 2014, the joint oversight with the Slave Committee on Trade and International Relations will be Group 2 to Limpopo and Northern Cape. And the rest goes with it. Any problem with that?
What?
From the 21st to the 24th October. Should I read it through, the whole report? Was just a one page. I thought you do have this. Followed by Tuesday the 28th, briefing on annual report by the Department of Transport. 4th of November, briefing annual report, Department of Energy. And the following week, 11th November, is the Economic Development annual report. 18th November is the report of Department of Labor. And the last one will be the Department of Public Works on the 25th of November. And thereafter, from the 1st of December until 2015 constituency. Any amendments to this report for the committee, because it's a program for the committee. Every week we have plotted these 7 weeks according to what we have, according to the departments that we have. I'm not talking of emergency meetings. These are standard meetings that you must follow so that at least you can plan your diary accordingly. Any violent opposition to this program? Doug is saying he's nodding. Any support to this program?
Not sure. I believe that if members are having any contrary view, they would so say so, but I would want to agree with the dog that we agree with.
Thank you very much. Shall we go over to the last item, the report? The minutes, sorry. The report, set of minutes.
Okay.
This is the first one, on the 26th of... So it's only 1 minute, okay. We've got only these minutes of the 26th of August. Only those minutes. They were also around the ratification of the new International Labour Organization recommendation concerning national flaws of social protection and ratification of the 1986 instrument of amendment to the Constitution of the International Labour Organization. You will remember the presentation that was made here last time by the Department of Labour. And then today is this one. Page one, do you agree? Yeah?
I'm not sure, Chair. The minutes were sent to us and I went through them. I don't have any submission to make. I'm not sure if members are comfortable whether we indicate whether there are any changes that we would want to make so that we cut to the chase.
Okay. Because it was about the presentation that we received at that time. Any amendments to the minutes or takers that you feel strongly, indirectly, he is proposing that we accept the minutes, the minutes. Ngaba uchoputi.
Chair, I move for the adoption as presented.
Any second? The person who was present, please. Honourable Member Van Linden. Thank you. Papa. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the adoption of this minute, because nothing controversial. The last announcement, the meeting is adjourned. Until next week. Thank you. This is the last meeting. We'll see each other. This committee, October 14th. Thank you.
Thank you. You were very helpful.
What is the in UK?
I haven't been to many committee meetings. I'm brand new.
Are we doing
a little bit? before I was in basic education. So